Let me do a quick introduction on what we're going to do today, because this is a little bit different than what we've done in the past. A lot of times we come forward with either research we've done or studies that we've done. This is a little different. Essentially what we want to do is we want to share some of the insights we've learned about a lot of the operational challenges that many of the MSPs are basically facing because of kind of the proliferation of managed service offerings of vendors providing MSP programs, various operational platforms, things like that. So obviously this is a kind of a real-time, real-world perspective as opposed to a focus of kind of a research thing. But what I'll tell you is that all of this came out of the research we did. So we didn't do a research project specifically on managed services platform. What we did is we did research projects relative to security, office products, managed service commitments, profitability. And what happened is through all of those studies, we basically came back and said, hey, we see a common theme emerging, and that's this whole issue relative to how partners are managing the operational complexities associated with all the various managed services go-to-market offerings. For those of you that don't remember me, I'm Mark Williams. Many of you probably remember Raleen. I was the guy with Raleen, so if you forgot that. Again, so my background, for those of you that I don't know, I do have a technical and operational background. So it's interesting as I was going through a lot of this research and studies and working with partners, it really started to kind of come out to me and says, look, you know, we're in a kind of a different world now in terms of how important these operational aspects are to an MSP's business, right? You know, just having an understanding of all the transitioning going on and being able to work with all the various, you know, products and offerings and vendors that are out there, it literally is becoming a challenge that for most businesses, if they can't solve it, ultimately at the end of the day could mean, you know, success or failure with their business. So learning and understanding and figuring out how that's happening, what's working, what's not working, that's what we want to do today. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, hey, what are some of these operational challenges? How are some vendors addressing it? What is the perspective of the MSPs? What are they saying and what are they doing? And then also talk a little bit about, you know, some things that some of the vendors are doing, as well as some insights from, we have some folks joining us that will give us some insights in terms of how the MSPs could use help from the vendor community. So, again, in order to get kind of an outside perspective, we wanted to invite some special guests. You know, originally we were wanting to invite a couple of MSPs to come and join us that would give us their specific information and insights. Through that process, we ended up coming across an organization called C-Level Operations that really is focused on helping a number of MSPs. They are basically coaches for MSP businesses. So what they do is they literally help various size MSPs basically handle and kind of get through all the operational challenges associated with being an MSP. So we asked both Rex Frank and Chris Butler to join. They're going to basically answer a series of questions. But before I go on, let me take a couple of seconds and have both of them do a quick intro, a little bit on your company, Rex, and then if you and Chris could just kind of give the team a short little intro, kind of your experience as an MSP. So, Rex?
Yeah, so my name is Rex Frank. Founded C-Level about a little over 7 years ago. My career started in the late 80s as a computer tech, early 90s, got promoted into that service manager role, got involved in some service executive peer group where really my career changed from being that technician trying to be a manager to really being an executive running the business by the financial metrics. I did that work at three different companies. The second company is where I actually met Chris. I'll let him talk about himself in a minute here. But I really learned a lot about working with vendors and how to leverage their tools and make our organizations better, you know, in that being the service executive part of my career. And 7 years ago, I started getting a lot of requests to help other MSPs get their operations in order. And I built a group now where there's nine coaches at C-Level working, you know, every day, 1 hour at a time with each client, each of our managed service provider clients, helping them get their operations in order and achieve the margins and profits that they're looking for. And it's just been a fun ride. And got Chris to join me, I don't know, was it 4 or 5 years ago? So I'll let him introduce himself.
Thank you, Rex. My name is Chris Butler. I have a similar story where I started off as a technician and grew into service management, kind of through the ranks of engineer, up into ownership. So probably 20 plus years working and dealing with working in the IT business. It wasn't always managed services, but taking that path. I've started with a 2 or 3 person company, right? And we were able to grow up to 10 to 15. I went from there to another company. It was about 10 or 15 when we started, and stayed there till we got to 85 employees and 3 geographical locations. So a lot of the work I was responsible for in charge of operations was working through challenges of the vendor platforms and multi-tenancy and things like that to scale that out and from a small organization to a large organization.
Great. Well, thanks, Rex and Chris. So we will get to you guys towards the end in terms of getting your perspective. But before we do that, let me jump in and talk about kind of why we're here today. So, again, like I said, over the past 18 months, I've been doing, and the team has been doing, Beth and Raleigh and Tim, number of projects totally related to, okay, what's happening with the cloud, what's happening with MSP profitability, et cetera. And again, what started to come out of this is this whole concept of, all right, what's happening with operational management platforms, what's happening with, you know, all these various new offerings, how is all of this working? And let me define that for a second. So when we talk about this, we're talking about the operational aspects associated with billing. So how is that whole billing process working? So how does that work from, you know, I am an MSP, I place an order, that order gets placed through wherever, right? When it comes back to me, I'm then able to pass it on to my customer. How does that work? Obviously, the complexities start to come in with what if I'm dealing with multiple vendors? What if I'm dealing with multiple distributors? How do I incorporate my own services into that? How does all that fit together in a way such that I can have a single view to my customer? It also gets into the areas around provisioning and procurement. So when I have a license, how does that work? Who owns the licenses? Where does that all fit? How does that happen? More and more, it's becoming part of the whole IT management, whether it be remote monitoring, whether it be remote management, and that can be everything from network management to server management to application management across the board. And again, you know, how does support happen? So if I have an issue, how do I, you know, deal with that and resolve that across these various platforms in an automated fashion? Obviously, my intro here tells you, look, there's not a clear answer to how this is working and what's happening. So the point of this is not to come and tell you, hey, and the answer to this is, well, what we want to do is kind of give you an understanding of what's happening and how you as vendors can basically start to think about your go-to-markets, your programs, the kinds of things that these folks need at a much more different level, at a much different level. And again, most of this information that we got, just like we typically do, it came from my interviews with industry experts, so, you know, folks that have been in the industry doing this. It came through discussions with distribution vendors, as well as significant interviews with a number of solution providers and MSPs. So just to go through the agenda, so the 4 things we'll cover. Let's talk about the MSP perspective in terms of what they're looking for, so I'll show you some of their feedback. The next is a lot of these operational platforms have fundamentally grown out of what we used to always refer to as the RMM, remote management systems, and the PSA systems, and vendors and distribution. A lot of the operational aspects have grown out of that. They call themselves different things now, but fundamentally that's where it started. So we'll talk a little bit about that. There's a couple of unique things that we've seen in the market in terms of what some vendors are doing to leverage this and take advantage of it, as opposed to kind of hide from it and run from it. So kind of want to share a couple things that we've seen that are pretty cool, and then we'll take time to talk with Rex and Chris around their perspective. I've got a series of questions I'm going to ask them and have them kind of share their perspective across the whole set of MSPs they manage. So let me start with a little graphic. So just to kind of explain the scenario of how the MSPs look at this. So number one, if you think about how the MSPs go to market, and what, like we talk about in Channel Masters, it's all around kind of getting a of their perspective as opposed to the vendor perspective. So from the MSP perspective, what are they trying to do? Obviously, you know, their whole goal is to try and, you know, develop with their customer set and create a whole managed services contract based around their customer set. Okay, in order to do that, right, they're spending a lot of their energy saying, okay, well, how do I add various solution offerings to that managed service contract? Right, so it's like it's the, their whole business is all around, okay, if I can first off secure a contract, then ultimately the whole goal is basically being able to add more users to that, add more offerings to that, add more things that they can manage, et cetera, et cetera. So that's this is the, their view of the world. Obviously, the next part of this is that then they start to continue to add and replicate customers across the board. So this is essentially from an operational perspective, the way they view this. It says, okay, how do I handle billing across this? How do I handle support across this, provisioning, et cetera? And this, as you can see, this can become pretty complicated, especially if you start to look at each of these boxes and say each one of these boxes is from a different vendor or from a different solution area. Some of it's cloud-based, some of it's on-premise-based, right? Some of it's their own services. Making all of that work is obviously a pretty complicated scenario. So how do they do this today? So what is their way to manage this? So there's a couple of ways they deal with this. Number one is some of the bigger ones, they just built their own. So whether it be a using various tools, they literally have their own system with which they manage all this. What you'll find is that a lot of them were still using the vendor portals. Problem is that's a very manual process when you start to think about how you have to look at all the various vendor portals and align all this together so that you have ability to work with one customer. Many of them are working and have been right with the RMM PSA platforms or the MSP platform providers. So they basically use that basically to help them monitor and manage across the board. They do billing, things like that. Obviously, distribution plays here, right? So distribution has obviously come forward and talked about what they're capable of doing across this platform. And again, obviously, many of them have a combination of all this, right? So many of them, look, you know, they'll use distribution. They'll work with an RMM tool. They might use the vendor portals. But the fundamental view is what they want to do is be able to look at their customer set across whatever platform that is, whether it be on-premise or cloud, and they want to look at it with a non-vendor perspective. So they want to be able to say, I have a customer, and they may have products from each one of your companies, but they want to view that in a single way as a customer, not necessarily from the vendor, which is different. So if you look at how many vendors view this, and again, this is a generic view. Some vendors are better at this than others. Some have platforms, you know, that literally connect across the board. But in general, the way we've seen it from our discussions with many of the vendors is it starts off with, look, the vendor has multiple products, and they basically want to have a vendor management platform that's typically a SaaS offering, something like that. Essentially, the view is they need to have a single way with which a customer can have access to the various products that they bring to the market. So you end up with these vendor platform areas that are out there, which is great for the vendor. It's a single way for these customers to be able to look at, you know, all the various products they have from a billing, deployment, licensing, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, then the point is that the vendor community obviously allows the various customers to continue to manage that and proliferate that. And then for the vendors that have an MSP go-to-market model, so what's happened over time is that the vendors have realized, well, wait a second, I now need to make sure my MSPs, right, have access into each of these areas. So there's been tools and things that have been developed to allow these MSPs to have access, you know, at the portal level to various products at the customer level, et cetera. Okay, so which is great, which is an excellent way for vendors to manage a portfolio, for the vendor to manage a portfolio of products. But what happens is, from an MSP perspective, what they're telling us is the complexity of having to do this for every vendor is literally becoming completely unruly, and their ability to actually manage this and add new vendors to the portfolio is extremely difficult. And we'll talk about this in a minute, because what's happening is that's starting to become a significant decision-making criteria within the partner community or within the solution provider community as to which vendors they're actually going to work with. Now, what's happening is there are a number of vendors that have done a good job here. They're offering integrations for APIs, so this allows them to, hey, you can manage your, you can log into our portal, you can manage our offerings through that. But there's APIs that allow that to work with all the various other platforms that are out there, through distribution, et cetera. Or they can integrate it into their own platform, which is great. But again, you know, that requires work. So that becomes another program element that says, hey, that's available to them. But then the question is, how are you helping them? Do you have programs and expertise and tools to help them do that? So this is kind of the general view of where of how they view it from the vendor perspective. So let me take a couple minutes. I'm not going to go through all of these, but these will be available to you. So, but what's happening is the reality is many of the solution providers, although they're trying to kind of manage their vendor community, because of all the new technologies, because of all the new cloud offerings, because of all the new best-in-class entrances and their ability to go to market, many, many, many of the solution providers are still out there, right, literally trying to figure out what are the best solutions that they have. So they're having to pick which ones they still want. So therefore, this concept of there being more and more and more vendors in the mix is causing this to be more and more and more of an issue. So this right here in terms of this survey actually came from discussion on office productivity solutions, but it was geared at MSPs, geared at getting an understanding of what they're doing and how they're thinking about this, whether they're trying to add vendors or not. The other that they talked about is that generally most of them believe that this is a solution that some third party is going to have to address. So they're looking for the vendors to help, but they're not necessarily looking for the vendor to be the one that's actually solving this because it's such a cross-vendor situation. Okay, so that's typically what happens. A lot of them are moving towards distribution. Many of them are still trying to figure out how they do consolidate because they really do not, they want to have a fewer set of vendors where possible, but they're not willing to sacrifice customer offerings in order to be able to do that. Okay. The next thing was we went and asked them, okay, well, how are you handling this today? And this, again, this is an excerpt from a cloud survey. We recognize that there's still the issue relative to how you manage the on-premise pieces, how you manage private cloud, and how you manage it in the private data center world. Essentially, what's happening is that most of the partners are still having to use the vendor portals in order to manage this. And the reason is because, obviously, not all of the vendor capabilities are available for them to be able to tap into either RMM tools or things like that. Most of them have given the perspective that they see this as getting worse. Again, because you have more and more vendors, more and more great tools, more and more great technologies, et cetera, that are propping up. But the problem is a lot of folks don't have mature MSP programs. Therefore, what's happening is those are available. They're available with some sort of utility base. But the connections into how all of this fits together and managed is still lagging behind. Honestly, the believability there's in what's happened also in the past, by the way, is that there has been lots of promises from distribution, from some of the RMM tools, some of the vendors that say, hey, we can solve all of this. But what's happened is you get into the interviews with the folks and they say, yeah, they say they can do that, but it's very nascent and a little kludgy. Therefore, it's not quite where they position it. So because people have made these promises, there's a lot of believability issues. So a lot of opportunity here. Obviously, some of the solutions out there, a number of the security offerings actually have done a good job at this. And many of the partners come back and say, look, you know, the solution, the security vendors, and also Office 365 have done a good job of basically making this easier for me, either through distribution or through the portal. But essentially, that's kind of where they are today. That's not where they want to be, but that's where they are today. If you guys remember the profitability study we did recently, at the end of the day, right, as we talked about in Channel Masters, this is all boiled down to profitability. And when we asked them the question around, well, what do you think the vendors can do to help you improve profitability? There was a number of things. But number three on the list was around this whole concept of linkage to PSA tools. And so why does that matter, right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, if you remember our discussions around profitability, you know, one of the core drivers to profitability for MSPs is their ability to have operational efficiency. So if they're good at what they do, right, and they have, and good means they can do it repeatably, they can do it in an automated fashion, the more that they can do that, the greater their profitability is. And they're realizing that, you know, just the whole aspect of having to deal with all these operational tools and things is causing them, causing their technicians and their business people to spend a lot of time when they really, you know, can't afford it. So that's one of the reasons that they brought that forward, so that's huge. The next piece of this was around, again, we talked about the profitability piece. How can they really drive their profitability? You know, a lot of it's around lowering costs associated with operations. So, again, you know, being able to, you know, make their techs more efficient, business people more efficient, you know, driving down the cost, which is what this actually does for them, is really where, you know, you start to make, you know, significant improvements in the overall operational business of an MSP. And this is interesting. So if you look at the numbers, you know, literally 40% of them said that this is the number one thing that can help them basically improve their capabilities, okay, so and improve their profitability. So it's a key thing to focus on. Kind of in summary of what we heard from the solution providers, a couple of main things. So the first thing that we really heard from all of that was most of these MSPs are really looking for a way to manage their customers. So, and their environments. They're trying to figure out how they can do this from a single pane of glass. So I can go in and I can say, this is my customer, and these are the solutions they have across multiple vendors. They're able to manage that. Here's what they have. Here's the licensing they have. Here's the bills they get. It all flows through the systems. That's the vision. Obviously, the reality is not close to that yet, but that's changing. The general view is this operational situation is getting worse. And the reason I bring this up is that we're starting to see that this needs to be a more core part of programs. And the reason we say that is because a lot of times many of the SPs or solution providers are starting to add this as a much more of an important decision criteria relative to their MSP go-to-business market or model. So if they come back and say, yeah, you have utility-based pricing, that's great. That matches my model, but how do you manage it? Oh, you have to log into my portal to do it, and that's the only way you can do it. While that still is good, if you have competitors that are now saying, wait a second, you can do it that way, it also integrates into the RMM tools. We have tight integration with some of the distributors, things like that. The more and more that those things start to come forward, the more and more that actually can be decision criteria that will have them pick somebody, one vendor over another. But at the end of the day, what we did, you know, talk to them about is that, look, they will be addressing customer problems, period. And the number one priority in terms of their decision-making criteria is, does this solution provide me what my customers want? Absolutely number one. But if I have two that have a tie and one provides the operational support and the other one doesn't, tie goes to the one that provides that. The cloud exacerbates the situation. And because of the proliferation of all the different cloud applications and infrastructure, and often that's kind of been noted as that's the biggest problem that they have. In the past, they've been able to do a fairly good job of kind of, you know, managing some of the on-premise tools and licenses and things like that. But as they're starting to add all of these various cloud offerings, this becomes a bigger and bigger problem. The other thing that they came back and talked to us about was, okay, well, what are you doing about this? Are you looking at new tools? Are you trying to change your tools? What's actually happening? Because one of the things they're coming back and saying, look, this is literally affecting my business, and it's the cost of my business. But what we found is that most of them have come back and said, look, I can't just change my quote-unquote RMM tool, PSA tool, management platform. It's not realistic. They're not going to just completely replace it. So I know there's several folks on the phone that actually have tools in this area. And essentially what partners are coming back saying is like, look, this has got to add, it's got to have a significant impact to my business in terms of reduction to my costs. But more importantly, what this does, if they're going to make a change, that platform must basically be able to get them into the future and prepare them for future things like cloud, IoT, and things like that. We did have a question. Can you please elaborate on making marketing funds easier for MSPs to gain access to? Let me defer that question because I don't know that I have a complete detailed answer. We're currently in the middle of doing a marketing study, and we have MSP input into that. So, Chris, Chris Bruno, let me get back to you on that one because I don't know that I have a crisp answer, unless Beth, you haven't. I know Beth. Beth, are you on?
I'm here.
So I don't know if you can answer this, and if we have to defer that, fine. He's asking about how do MSP marketing funds fit into this operational platform.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple issues. The most notable one is that with revenue, the size of the attributable revenue to the partner changing from an on-premise, you know, one deal solution to a smaller number in the annuity, you know, version of it, there's an inequity in terms of how partners show up on the radar for eligibility to MDF. They just look a lot smaller, even though their revenue mix might be strategically moving very nicely in the direction of a really healthy managed service business. They just look smaller, so they tend to fall off the radar screen in terms of getting access to what used to be maybe a bigger pool of MDF funds. That's the thing we hear most commonly. But also, there's some vendor tracking mechanisms for vendors that have moved to a utility-based pricing model to the partner. Sometimes that isn't being tracked quite as accurately as well in terms of partner attributable revenues when they go to allocate marketing funds. So it's more back office stuff in terms of who's eligible for the fund than it is how they get access to it necessarily. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this is Rex. I have a small perspective here. Back in the 2000s, as my business transitioned more from being a product resale project business more toward, you know, the recurring revenue managed services model, while our influence in our client base didn't really change of what vendor products our clients procured, we weren't necessarily doing the procurement, which meant we fell off all the vendors' radars. And the more we did managed services, the more our vendor relationships deteriorated because they weren't seeing us as the one doing the sale, right? Our clients were buying from CDW or Dell, but they're still buying what we told them to buy. And, you know, just our access to any kind of vendor MDF just, like, evaporated. Mm. Even though we were still the influencer. And it was very challenging for us.
Yeah, I think the other thing that you'll see in the marketing study, so we won't waylay that here because we want to keep on track, so we'll focus on this when we publish that, is that I think the recurring revenue business model sort of inherently assumes a longer-term campaign, a sort of longer lead nurturing cycle, and awareness to, you know, the overall services portfolio. And today, right, wrong, or different, a lot of the vendor MDF fund programs still favor one-time events, one-time activities, you know, or really short-term campaigns, you know, like a quarter, a marketing visibility piece with an email campaign with an event, you know, and it's done. And I think MSPs that are more savvy have a much more sustained approach to marketing, which doesn't always fit the program rules.
And I remember being at an industry event, three, 4 years ago. And I heard a staggering statistic. It was like 60 or 70% of available MDF goes unused. Mm-hmm. And I would just attribute that to just a general, I'm going to use the word incompetence in the MSP community on how to work with vendors and leverage MDF funds and you know, how to be a good custodian of that MDF money. They just very simply don't know how to do it.
Good point. Okay. Hope that answered your question, Chris, and then again, we are going to be doing more relative to marketing surveys we did, so thanks for your question.
Perfect. Thanks for the insight. I appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, let me switch gears a little bit. So one of the things I want to talk about now is that obviously as part of all of these surveys, right, and research projects that we do, one of the questions that we always ask is, okay, well, you know, hey, how are your RMM vendors, PSA tool vendors, distribution, operational platform vendors, kind of how is all that play into it? So let me spend a couple minutes and just talk about kind of a few things that we're seeing. First off, let me talk about this. This isn't intended to be market share information. This isn't intended to be an endorsement of which one's good versus not. These are literally just insights we found from our interviews. So take this as directional and informational. Don't take this as, oh, this one's better than the other and we should work with these guys versus not. The point of this is just to kind of share with you some of the things that we found out. So, for instance, we went, this is, again, part of that office study that we did. We asked, well, which you know, tool are you using? Obviously, and again, market size differences, what solutions you're using it for are different. But in this study, they came back, and obviously ConnectWise was continued to be kind of one of the premier solutions that they talk about in terms of what they're using to manage their cloud and managed services platform. Distribution, more and more and more folks are saying, hey, we're starting to use the distribution platforms. The feedback came back, say they're still very focused on billing and procurement functionality, but by the way, that's still important, less on so much of the IT management functions, but getting better. You can see some of the other ones, Autotask, Intermedia, Kaseya, things like that, that are out there. There's some other smaller companies that actually have solutions in this area. Some procurement, some are more IT management focused. But essentially, the reason that we're seeing them talk about this is and want this is because fundamentally, at the end of the day, they do believe, right? They do believe they want to manage it as a customer set, but they're still having to pick across the board. Let me give you a couple of examples. So I'm assuming many of you are familiar with ConnectWise. If you're not, I suggest you go and look at kind of what they have to offer. Essentially, they grew out of the PSA world but have been changing their model for years. And essentially, what they have been able to do over time is, you know, basically in their vision is they want to be this connection to the technology ecosystem. So they now offer solutions in terms of being able to manage, automate, sell, control, and I'll talk about this Unite function in a second. But fundamentally, over time, they've been expanding their portfolio to address cloud. That's always been a big issue that the partners have talked about is are the tools able to handle the cloud, which that's changed. And again, at the end of the day, their view is that they want to become this platform, this integrated platform that allows MSPs to basically solve many of these operational challenges, everything from what solutions they offer to how it gets billed, et cetera. So that's kind of their vision and where they're going. Some of you are familiar with Kaseya. That name comes up a lot. Essentially, their positioning is they're obviously trying to move beyond kind of the remote management-based technologies, really trying to get more focused on some of the technician areas. Done a lot of it. Their vision of where they're going is their view is to basically if they can drive the technician efficiencies, they fundamentally believe that's where you can increase MSP profitability. That's kind of what they're talking about. And what they're positioning is interesting. They're also, their kind of positioning is around acquisitions, that they realize that many of the platform vendors don't necessarily have all the tools in place, and in order for them to become that sort of central figure, they're going to have to make investments. But they also realize that this has been, you know, that these companies are doing well, right? They actually have done well over the last couple of years. They seem, at least they say they are in terms of their reports and things like that. But essentially the view is that, look, you know, they want to be that central point, but to do it, they're going to have to continue to expand and grow. Autotask is another one. So some of the folks actually are on the phone from Datto, I think. I don't know if they're on, but they're part of the team. So, I mean, obviously that's been something that's, you know, they're looking at it the same way. They want to become more than just the, you know, the business automation. They literally are starting to add more technology, more solutions so that they are more of a complete offering to the market. So those are some of the, probably the three that we see the most. Obviously, there's other ones. So if you look at folks like SolarWinds, obviously CA has some solutions in this area. These tend to be a little bit different, a little more focused on the IT management side. There are folks like Intermedia as well that are more focused on a specialty area where they're basically offering a solution that's in one particular area that works with all, that solves some of these problems in terms of integrated billing and things like that. So you got to kind of go back and depending on what marketplace you're in, look at, you know, what are the MSPs using, what are the tools that they need in order to manage the environments that they're in. We also recently did, so let me switch gears, talk about distribution a second. So we also recently did a survey, and this is a security survey relative to MSPs. And one of the questions is, okay, well, what's the role that distribution is playing across the board in terms of being able to manage and have these offerings as well? And obviously, they have partnerships with all of the RMM tools and management vendors from a procurement perspective. So we really were asking them, well how are they playing? And we asked them the MSPs three questions. Says, okay, you know, how are you looking and are you using distribution marketplace, number one, to become aware of the various solution offerings. So this goes right back to the comment that says, if I can have an offering that I want that can be managed across the board in a single environment, that's a good thing. So therefore, you know, do you have that? Do you have that available in your marketplace? Are you able to provide that kind of cross-functional management for the solution I'm looking for? So they were literally, you know, this was probably higher than I had expected. So literally a third of the folks or more were basically coming back saying, hey, we are looking to distribution. It is important, not only from, you know, do I pick the right product, but is it part of their marketplace? Because that's going to be my fundamental platform to go to market. And this is across the market. Ingram, you look at Tech Data, you look at Synex. They all have, you know, various versions of this. And again, discussion, you know, this tends to be around some of the procurement. Obviously, they've moved well beyond that, but still a sort of kind of thing that still sits out there is there's the view that this still is, you know, kind of around the billing and management or billing and fulfillment and things like that. But honestly, they're going way beyond that. So there's actually more solutions out there. Okay, so that's, you know, kind of what's happening with the platform vendors. Again, we'll talk about that in a minute when we get to the coaches and talk about what they're seeing from these various vendors. The next I want to talk a little bit about kind of what some of the vendors are doing, and I just want to give a couple of examples. This is just an example of ways that you can go about this. We talked a little bit about this in the year-end webinar, but what Cisco has done with ConnectWise, actually I think is pretty good best practice in terms of how they're going to market. So they obviously recognize the issue associated with building another vendor-based portal that did all of these things, and basically what they did is they decided to work with ConnectWise to say, instead of building our own, let's work with the vendor, especially in the mid-market, the SMB space, and let's basically work with the vendor that's already there, and let's figure out how we can have them help us integrate these kinds of offerings into the overall ConnectWise solution. So from everything I've heard, you know, this is going really well. They had a trial period up until just recently. And I think that so far, so good, it's been going well. And I think if you talk to both ConnectWise and the Cisco folks, this is something that actually they believe is something they can build off going forward. Another example I want to use is, obviously you guys are familiar with Sophos. So essentially one of the things that they have done is they started to recognize the need to have their solutions and their offerings through more of the, you know, the large cloud providers like Amazon and Azure, things like that. Which everybody, most of you guys are doing that now. The one thing that they've done is they've actually taken that next step and says, not only are these products available, this goes right back to the comment that Rex made a few minutes ago, is that they actually are starting to recognize, right, and allow MSP partners to get margin and rebates from deals that are actually procured and fulfilled through these platforms. And interesting enough, it also counts towards their overall attainment. So if they're on, you know, depending on what level they are, you have to get to a certain level. So they've done a good job not only of integrating and making it available through the various platforms, but also from a programmatic perspective, they've come back and put, you know, hey, you know, rules and programs in place to basically support that, not just operationally make it work. Okay. So we're up about 20 minutes left. What I wanted to now do is basically switch gears. So, and actually have Rex and Chris go through some questions that I have, just kind of give them to give us a perspective across the board. So once I go through these, we might have an opportunity to ask them some questions as well. So let me start off, and I'll leave this up to either one of you, Rex or Chris. So give us your perspective. What are some of the top operational platform challenges that your MSPs are facing today that you're talking to?
Well, one of the things I've noticed is, thank you for the intro, but one of the things I've noticed is that the owners go to these industry events, right? They go to peer group meetings, they go to, you know, whatever con event is going on, and they meet a lot of vendors and see a lot of interesting products, and you know, the owners are hearing the vision you guys have for your products, and then the owners are kind of creating their own visions. And then they go back to the office, and they walk into their service manager's office, or they walk into the sales manager's office, and they do something that the industry, at least the service managers, are calling the seagull effect, right? The owners come back from these events, and they kind of crap all over their desk with all these new ideas and thoughts of, hey, we should be doing this. And you know, the service managers, their days are full with kind of the tyranny of the urgent and what they're already managing. And here's all this new thing, this next thing that you know, their owner wants them to take a look at. And it's really the service managers and the sales managers that have to, you know, try to, what they're not doing is they're not carving time out of their day to try to figure this stuff out that you guys are getting the owners all hyped up about. And they're excited
about what the possibilities are, and then you get back to the service managers and they're like, wait a second, I have to manage that. I have to make that work. Right.
Exactly. And that's a big stall factor, right? I think that's where a lot of the stuff you got the owners excited about just stops.
So they go to these trade shows, they see the cool solution, then they get back and say, all right, I'd love to do that. I suspect that's where you probably run into issues where people join the program, get excited about the program, but it never goes anywhere because the ability to actually make that work is difficult, therefore probably causes more problems.
Yeah.
The owner's, he's or she's kind of getting that idea or seeing the vision and saying this product will really help my clients and my service delivery and things like that. But when he brings it back, the service manager's going, well, what's the platform I have to deliver this on, right? That's the inhibitor is we don't even, the owner's not thinking platform until after it's back and maybe we don't have the right product integration for this to work as smooth as it said it's supposed to.
Great. Well, I'll ask you a question in a minute about how vendors can help with that. But so let me move on to the next one. So the other question I had was around, and my system's working. Tell me what you see as some of the challenges that these platforms are now able to address. So what are you seeing in that area? And do you have some examples? It'd be great if you have some examples of kind of how these, you know, how they're actually addressing some of these challenges.
So, I guess the biggest challenge to kind of maybe identify that if I grab X amount of quantity of licenses, you know, times all my clients, I get a report I print out and I have to kind of go into my billing system and audit that. Am I billing for all of those seats or those things? So when I think about that integration piece or the things we have to solve for is that has to be as automated as possible, right? The time that we lose or put into just figuring out, am I billing everything I'm being charged for? If it's not clear from the start that I get it from distribution or the vendor to how I deliver it to the client, that can eat up all my margins for whatever that is.
And how would you say, from your discussions with your clients, how big of a problem is this? I mean, are there any of the platforms out there that are solving this or have made huge strides in making this easier and better?
Most definitely. Recently, in this last 3 to 6 months, distribution helped solve this PAX 8. They wrote an API, right? The whatever solutions go through their piece to it, they've made it seamless from whatever I'm being billed. I have a question in my TSA to say, should I bill this to which client, right? It's all linked from the company level on the TSA to that part. ConnectWise did a great job with Cloud Console, right? They have an ability to pull data in from distribution and say, here's all your licenses by these company names, sync that up to my PSA and say, do I want that to be billed and what price do I want to bill right now?
One of the things Cloud Console is doing is addressing that prorating, you know, where your vendor's billing you for the month, but you know, you're not organized enough to make sure you bill your client, you know, the right amount during that first month. And just skipping that first month could kill your margin for several months, you know, because the margins are so skinny on these products.
Great. All right, let me keep going. So the next question I wanted to get into was about, you know, so some of the inhibitors, right? So based on targeting your clients, you know, when they use these tools, they've used these platforms, you know, what are some of the biggest inhibitors that they've seen to be successful?
So from specifically to the platform, is it the platform either exists or does. If there's no solution or even a thought to address that, that's very hard to overcome. Whether it's the licensing and the billing aspect of it, or the ability to deliver right multi-tenancy, that when you have especially more than one product.
So how are they handling the fact that, okay, I've got to work with, you know, hundreds of vendors out there? How seamless is that happening? How's that working?
So, again, the tools and ideas that distribution's coming up with to do vendor consolidation, right, if I can get that tool. ConnectWise is also taking that approach, right? If you can integrate into that API, then it's one pane of glass or one solution for the MSP to manage multiple vendors and then vendors with multiple products.
Okay. So it kind of talks about where they've been, what's going on. We've kind of covered a little bit around, you know, kind of issues they have today. You know, kind of put on your hat in terms of the thinking of the future, is that, you know, what is coming that's new that maybe we don't know about? You listen to, it's funny, if you listen to some of the CEOs of ConnectWise and the others, I think they have very busy press groups these days because they're doing lots of interviews. Lots of discussion around, hey, the future. Any insights as to kind of some of the things that they're thinking about that's going to make this easier for the MSPs?
I think this is the how do I make the APIs available? How do I get that integration to be easier to use? How do I make it more useful? Right? There's the as that's coming down, the more streamlined and automated I can make this, then for me to be competitive, I have to have that ability.
So just a continuing investment in the APIs and things like that. Are they helping the vendors do this, or is this something that the vendors have to do themselves, or do you know?
I know that ConnectWise has a vendor program for their API solution that you can get. You get your own special university and escalation process with their product, knowledge base training, things like that.
Great. So I just thought of this one,
but I think that the operational maturity of managed service providers in general is increasing. Meaning, you know, they used to spend all their time trying to figure out how to manage networks, and now I think they're spending more time trying to figure out how to manage their business, you know, as they've come to terms with how to manage clients' networks. And I think you're going to see an increasing demand as they're seeking efficiencies in how they run their business.
Okay. So they're that's very consistent with some of the research that we've done around much more of the MSPs reaching out to folks like the users groups, looking at consultants, you know, coaches like yourselves. That's actually an increase because many of them are saying, look, I don't necessarily know how to do this. Can I get help from others? So I suspect that's probably an opportunity for vendors to help as well. But so let me turn this into the last question is, you know, in terms of we have the, you know, a number of vendors on the call, obviously. What advice would you give to them as it relates to this topic in terms of how they can make improvements in this area?
One thing that's super successful, and I'm a big fan of, is having that partner committee, right? You've got you bring in some of your clients or MSPs to be part of a committee that gives direction and advice and thoughts of this kind of integration would be way better for me. That's a huge ROI and investment for that.
To advisory groups.
Advisory groups, right? The thinking about how an MSP has to consume the product. What we have here, these five steps, right, of making something change in an MSP, we have to define the offering, right? What are the goals? What's the timelines? Do we need a vendor? That piece of it. But we have to document it. And the documentation has to have implementation processes. It might have admin billing processes. It needs an engineer process. It needs a sales process. All those things have to be understood and easily consumed for it to be successful.
And what you mean by that is how we leverage this vendor product in our service offering.
Right.
Right. So from all aspects of the business.
Right. So the discussion we had the other day, which is great. So, you know, any time a vendor can come in and say, hey, I can provide training, I can provide blueprints, I can provide assets, IP that can help with each of these areas. And it was a great discussion about, you know, what that actually can do. So I think that's one of the things that I heard from you guys the other day was, like, you know, are vendors doing that? Can they bring that forward? The other thing I know we talked about, and you may want to spend a little bit of time on that, is, you know, if they come forward with, hey, we have an offering and it can fit into, like, ConnectWise, but the integrations aren't there, or it needs to be, you know, there needs to be work done, you know, how are vendors coming forward today? Are they just saying, hey, yeah, we have an API, good luck, or are they actually bringing forward programs that say, hey, here's either the IP, here's either the training, here's either the instructions, or here is an opportunity for us to come and help you do that. Are you seeing any vendors doing those kind of things today?
Some are being proactive about it, right, and trying to understand it so that they can take it to market first. And that's the part of understanding the client, right? How does the client then consume this and use it and actually get to the end user the right way? So the more they can understand that and put that material together to help the MSP along in these different steps or phases to getting that offering adopted, the more successful that can become. Definitely a higher adoption rate or faster factor.
Excellent. Any other things you want to add to this before we open it up for questions for the last 5 minutes?
Can I ask a question? This is Beth.
Yes, you can.
Chris and Rex, I am with another consultant with ITED. I was just on a TSIA webinar this morning, the Technology Services Industry Association, their State of MSP of Business. And one of the things they talked about significantly in a quantified way was the difference between a custom price and package on a one-off basis versus a true service catalog, repeatable pricing and scoping of the services in an MSP model, and the difference those two models have on operating income, just straight bottom line. Do you see that is a conflict in terms of how some MSPs are running their business model or how they're maturing? Would you agree that the more portfolio-ish they get organized, that the more profitable that they tend to be?
I think it's more portfolio with a fixed rate, right, where they're bundling in all those different offerings but saying this is the service. So as they become more mature and they put that together, that's the ones that are achieving higher results for the bottom line. So having
the services,
more inclusive, right? More services altogether, right? Bundling together three or four different cloud products into one offering. The as they price and package that, that's the part that which takes more than one vendor,
right? As opposed to pricing them one off and only
interested
in the economics individually. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good question. All right, let me pause. Anybody else? Feel free to unmute your phone. I think it was *7 to unmute if you're muted, if you have a question. Or you can use a chat window. We'll look at that. All right. Well, if there's no questions, we sincerely appreciate everybody taking the time. Hopefully this was valuable and helpful for you. Kind of the summary of this is that, look, you know, the operational elements of the MSP business, you know, again, are becoming, you know, a real differentiator in terms of their choosing vendors, which ones to work with. As you're working, I know, and having worked with a number of you, I know many of you are looking at MSP programs, how you make adjustments and changes. Really taking a deep look at the operational aspects. I know a lot of us on the phone don't necessarily have that core technical, you know, details to get into that, but making sure that you know, those boxes are checked and that those integrations are in place, those can be a really compelling value-add message to the MSPs in terms of why they should work with you, why you're valuable to them. So in addition to making money and having the marketing programs, you know, ability to truly drive a more efficient business, definitely we'll show how you can help them with their overall profitability, which is obviously one of the things that we talked about in our Channel Master. So With that, sincerely appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Look forward to speaking with you guys in the near future. And Chris and Rex, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you offering your insights. And thanks a lot. Everybody has a great weekend.
Thank you for having us, Mark.
Thank you.
You're welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See ya.
Bye.